2 Corinthians, that is in the New Testament, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And while you're looking up these Bible verses, I was in my library, just a few weeks ago, and I was looking at a very old book on my shelf. It was printed 130 years ago, and I was leafing through this musty old book, and I came across four old stamps. And instantly I thought, Peter, you have struck a priceless treasure. I had visions of calling the security in and surrounding her house. I thought, I'll get on WhatsApp and I'll talk to her family members that they're suddenly going to become instantly wealthy. Four old stamps. People dream of finding treasures. Well, there were two Canadian Queen Victoria postage stamps, 1 cent stamps and a 2 cent stamp. So, you don't know what Queen Victoria stamp looked like. There are things that you put in envelopes. People used to mail envelopes, and they had to put a stamp on it to pay for it. And there was an old Queen Victoria stamp from the 1800s. Worth 1 cent. And that was one of the stamps in the old book. Oh, I was so excited. Pay off all our bills, everything. I Googled the Queen Victoria 1 cent Canadian stamp, and the value ranged from $6 to $20. I was crushed. I didn't even bother telling the family about it. What I thought was going to be a tremendous treasure ended up not being worth all that much. And it set the wheels in motion in my mind of a priceless treasure that I do possess tonight. A priceless treasure. And we're going to read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is writing these words. We'll read a couple of verses. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, and so on. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. There may be a lost person tonight in the room. Not lost geographically, you know where you are, but lost spiritually, lost to God. You hear other people talking about God, but it's there's no ring of truth or authenticity to you. You're lost. And what other people enjoy, you don't enjoy. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then Paul says, we're not preaching about ourselves. Maybe you've come along to this gospel meeting tonight, and you think it's about joining the Parkview Gospel Hall. It has absolutely nothing to do with joining the Parkview Gospel Hall. The good news is not this church. The good news revolves around the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. There are people here on both sides of the room, and they remember when there was a lot of darkness inside them, when things were very, very dark. But they have a precious, precise, personal moment when the light of the gospel, of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, illuminated their darkened hearts. I'm one of them. The light shone in. The light of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. I just want to build on this thought of treasure from verse 7. Paul wasn't always a Christian. If you read anything about Paul, he was a notorious person. He hated Christians. He hated Jesus. He arrested Christians who loved the Lord Jesus. He voted to have them put to death, executed. But now he's preaching about the Lord Jesus. And he's holding him up and lifting him up. And he's seeking to draw other people who are lost in darkness to the lovely person of Jesus Christ. Tremendous change in his life when he became a Christian. And Paul writes, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And then he writes, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair," and so on. Paul was very aware of his own brokenness and his frailties and his faults and his failures. But what thrilled Paul, what thrilled his heart, was that he had a treasure of infinite value within him. The wonderful person of Christ and the good news of personal salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel and Jesus Christ is a treasure that a real, authentic, true blue Christian holds dear inside them. We ourselves, we're frail. We're far from perfect. We're broken. Paul says we're like a clay vessel. We're like jars of clay. The real treasure is inside us. Do you have this treasure inside you? Do you? Could you meet Mr. Meekin and myself at the door and squeeze our hands extra tight and say, "Yes, Peter, I have found this treasure. His name is Jesus, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ changed my life. I have the treasure inside." That's what a gospel meeting is all about. You could leave this room with that same priceless treasure. You know, Paul didn't have much in life after he became a Christian. We don't read that he lived in a mansion. We don't read of him owning a megachurch. It's scandalous what's done under the name of evangelical Christianity. People turn on the news and they see people like me behind a pulpit begging for money. Support our ministry. And then they see their little private jets, and one isn't enough, they need two. I understand why people in Winnipeg are skeptical of the message. I understand why people are cynical. But Paul, as he's writing these words, he didn't fly around in an executive jet or in those days a yacht in the Mediterranean. We don't read of him having many possessions, but he was rich beyond measure because of the treasure that he possessed inside. Now you can look at me tonight. I checked in the mirror. The day has been a long one. But when I left the house this morning, I made sure my yellow tie was on right and the collars were down. And, you know, I probably don't look that bad, but I don't have much money. And I'm not wealthy. We live in a simple little home in Prince Edward Island. We just got rid of our Toyota Camry. It had 572,000 kilometers on it. And so you come to our house, we can't even have a whole bunch of you in because it's so small. But you are looking at a billionaire tonight behind the pulpit. I am a spiritual billionaire, not a millionaire. I am a spiritual billionaire because I have a treasure that maybe you don't have. I have the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that's what Paul was writing about, the treasure that he possessed, the message of the gospel. Paul writes in another place, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Do you have anything like that? If we were to give you the mic, say it was an open mic session, and you had 2 minutes to speak about what you have, what would you talk about? Well, you might have things that many of us don't have. You may have the most souped-up Harley Davidson ever. You might have the coolest set of four wheels that in the town. But could you say, sir or audience, I have Jesus Christ, the treasure that is of surpassing transcendent value. In another place, Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says, Paul wrote, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul couldn't seem to find adjectives, modifiers, to adequately express what he had found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. That's one translation. The NASB translation says, the unfathomable riches of Christ. The NIV translation says, the boundless riches of Christ. The New Living Translation says, the endless treasures available to them in Christ. The Old Holman's Bible, the Christian Standard Bible says, the incalculable riches of Christ. And another paraphrase says, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. Do you know anything about these riches? This possession. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. Talking about giving and people being charitable. And then he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He couldn't find a word to describe the gift of God's Son that he gave to this world. We're hearing about it. Last night it touched our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God gave his Son to die on the cross for a very specific reason. Have you ever found out that you were the reason? I remember the night in my bedroom when I found out God gave his Son to die for Peter's sins. When I found out that, I embraced him personally as my own Savior. I am wealthy spiritually. Have you ever found the treasure? Is it wet? Does it wet your, sharpen your appetite at all? Would you say, I would love to have something like that. I would love to know the joy of my sins forgiven. I would like to have this infinite wealth inside me. Because you know, riches and the external, they can come and go. People win lotteries, and their family members they didn't even know were in the family tree, converge in their house wanting their lottery, and a couple of years later, they don't have a cent left. Some of them end their life. Material wealth doesn't bring happiness. Some of the saddest people are the wealthiest, the most famous people. They've got all of this, but they've got an aching void in their heart. What do you have? Do you have a void too? Some of us have the treasure that fills a void. Do you? The possibility of the treasure. Knowing that such a treasure exists and others possess the treasure. Are you interested? Knowing that others are filled with joy because they have a treasure of priceless worth and value. Have you considered the possibility yourself, I would like to have this as well? Does it pique your interest in the least? If others have it, then I should go for it. You should, definitely should. The possibility of a treasure? The pursuit of the treasure? Have you spent any time looking for this wonderful treasure of God's salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you think about it today? Did you think about it this week? About the void inside, about the growing burden of sin. How can they be forgiven? Have you pursued the treasure? If I told you, you know what a mason jar is? Perhaps your grandma makes jam and pickles or something, and they put them in a mason jar. If I told you there was a mason jar buried on the property around this building somewhere in the green grass, underneath the green grass, and in that mason jar there was $10,000 buried, I wouldn't be a bit surprised that there are a number of people in this room, and after this service concludes, or after the meeting, or tomorrow morning, you would be here with your shovels in search of the treasure. But even if there was $10,000, how could that ever be compared to what the Bible is offering you, what God wants to bless you with, the treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ? You'll go through $10,000 so quickly, but what I have last throughout all this life. I have known Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. June the 2nd of this year, next month, June the 2nd, I will have possessed this treasure for 50 years, a half a century. You knew I was a fossil, didn't you? And I'm not disappointed with the treasure over the last 50 years. And as far as I can project my thinking into the future, a million years from tonight, Christ will still be mine. Do you have anything that can be compared to that? $10,000 in a mason jar is almost worthless. Are you interested? Are you interested at all? Something as obvious as this wonderful treasure we read about in the Word of God. I know it can be obscured by the debris of life, the distractions, the wow bubbles that people go in for, and they burst. And they miss this wonderful treasure. Oh, friend, don't miss this amazing treasure. I want to share a little story with you. I put it on my website. I don't know whether you know Dan Blankenship or not. He died in March of this year. He was 95 years old. The story touched my heart. He spent the best years of his life looking for a treasure looking for a treasure on Oak Island, not too far from where Mr. Meekin lives in Nova Scotia. They say the treasure may have been left there by Pirate Blackbird or the Knights of Templar or Captain Kidd, who was hanged back in 1701, hanged for piracy. They think it could be Shakespeare's missing manuscripts. There are other theories of what might be buried on Oak Island. And away back in 1965, before many of you were born, Dan Blankenship was living in Florida. He was a successful businessman in Florida. And he was reading an article in the Reader's Digest about this fabled treasure buried on Oak Island. He showed it to his wife. And his perceptive wife said, "So what?" Dan said, "Well, number one, there's a treasure on Oak Island. And number two, I am going to be instrumental in getting it." He moved from Florida. He was serious about finding the treasure. Is there anyone here tonight serious about finding Christ? He moved from Florida to Oak Island in Nova Scotia. He spent over 50 years of his life searching, digging. He dug days on end, months, years. He risked his life. Others did too. Some died. One day, Dan was in this shaft down many, many, many feet, and a little shaft, and it started to cave in, and he yells up to his son, David, "He's down 43 meters. And it started to collapse. He was in search of a treasure down there. And he calls to his son, David, and David is able to pull him up. And 17 seconds later, the entire shaft caved in. At age 87, Dan was still going out every day looking for the treasure. He asked, "Why would one waste their time playing golf or vacation at a beach when there is a treasure to be found?" He was taking it so seriously. When I was looking, doing some research in this story, I literally, the tears ran down my face, because he was 87 and he was holding a little case, velvet case. And there were a few broken links of a chain, about 8 broken links of a chain, all that he's been able to recover over those 50 plus years. And I thought, here's an old man, gave all his entire, the years of his life to finding a treasure, and all he has are a few pieces of chain, links of a chain. And then he died at 95. He never found the treasure. And I thought of people I love, people that I've spoken the gospel to from here to Vancouver. I thought, what an awful thing if they lived their lives thinking that there's a treasure out there. Meanwhile, there's a treasure in here in the Word of God, and it's fully available to them. When they turn 95, what will they have in their hands? A few broken links of a chain? Or will they have Christ? As you listen to Mr. Meekin tonight, our prayer, we plead with you. There is a treasure in our Lord Jesus Christ, and you can come into the possession of that treasure tonight. We're not going to call you to the front. You don't even have to talk to us, but we would be happy to talk to you afterwards if you have questions. But in this meeting this evening, you could turn your eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ and understand on the cross, He shed His blood. He died for my sins. and you could accept this priceless treasure and it would be yours forever and ever. And the void that is in your heart this evening, He alone can fill. As you listen to Mr. Meekin tonight, listen carefully and make sure you get this wonderful treasure.